Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton. And this is everything you never knew you wanted to know about cats and dirigibles.
That is one of my most favorite words, dirigible.
Dirigible. Yeah.
It's right up there with infrastructure, which is so fun to say. But I don't want to take away focus. We're talking about a cat and an airship. Oh, my God.
We have to go down airship road a little bit first, because we are going to jaunt briefly, if I can find them in my show notes. This is going to be an exciting ride.
Mm-hmm. While you're looking at show notes, guys, we don't talk about this enough. We have a shop now. We have merch.
Yes, we do.
We have a t-shirt. We have a candle that is Baker Miller pink, although the candle isn't, but the sticker on it is. And we've got coffee mug and a beer stein that's got a little cat in a box that says non-Newtonian fluid. I'm drinking out of it right now. So if you go to brainjunkpodcast.com and click on shop, you can find all these amazing things. I just thought you should know. Okay.
And then take a selfie with your merch. And post it to us on Facebook and Instagram.
Do an Instagram story and add us. We would love
that. Yes. I would probably do a happy dance. That would be fun.
Absolutely.
Would you like to get back to airships?
I would. Sorry.
So dirigible came from the French term ballon dirigible. And it means steerable balloon.
Oh.
So that's delightfully direct. They gain lift from some type of gas that is less dense than the surrounding air. And as all of us know, that can be fraught with peril. Helium is preferred because it is not flammable, but it is rare and very expensive. Hydrogen, much more available, much more explodey. So, and I know you're like, Amy, what about rigid, non-rigid, and semi-rigid airships? All three of those exist. Yes.
Okay.
Non-rigid airships are blimps. So what that's, I think we see blimps mostly now, right? The ones over the football games and stuff.
Yeah. Like the Goodyear blimp kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So when I heard the story about this, because I heard it on NPR.
Yeah.
And then I sent it to you because I was like, oh my gosh, you have to look at the picture of this cat. I had in my head that it was like a hot air balloon in a basket.
Oh, no.
Oh.
You should look up a picture. We'll probably put one in show notes, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. No, we definitely will.
Torpedo-shaped.
Oh.
It's like they've attached, if you look at a picture, think a very symmetrical sweet potato with a board attached underneath is what it looks like. Now, the board underneath is probably where the people are and the mechanics are. And then right below that is a lifeboat, a literal boat.
Yeah. I mean, it is just a little teeny tiny. It's like this giant thing in a tiny boat. But they were trying to do something. They were trying to cross the Atlantic.
I was just going to say, it's time to get into our story.
Woohoo!
So this era is in the early 1900s, specifically 1910 for this attempt. People were trying to cross the Atlantic. And for this attempt, they were trying to cross it in an airship. And this was the first attempt made. And October 15th, 1910, let's set the stage. The first ever attempt to cross the Atlantic in a powered flying machine. The ship was named America. It had a crew of six, including aeronaut Walter Wellman and chief engineer Melvin Vanneman and Marie Simon, the ship's navigator, who was British on the America. But that's okay. That's fine.
Suspicious.
He said, and there's some delightful quotes. He said, "We will make those blooming critics eat their own words. They have been hammering us for the last month, ridiculing our worn out gas bag and old coffee mill for motor, telling us we should never leave sight of land, that the wireless plant we carried is a mere bluff, and that all the men engaged to work the ship have cold feet." So the other aspect of this that he mentions is they're going to have a radio on board this airship for the first time, too. So this is a pretty historical attempt.
Yeah.
So they launch. They're headed out the Atlantic and there's a boat following behind them to track their progress. And it must have been shortly after their launch. They heard howling and noise and it's this cat in the lifeboat. And so the chief engineer, Melvin Vanneman, goes down and gets poor kiddo, stuffed him into a bag and attempted to lower him down to the ship that was following them. They were too fast. The ship was too slow. They were too far away. Kiddo the cat is stuck on the venture now.
Oh, no.
Murray Simon, he is fine with it. He's like, you must never cross the Atlantic in an airship without a cat. More useful to us than any barometer. So that's delightful. I really love that perspective. And this is where the radio piece comes into things, because the first mid-Atlantic transmission of a radio on a flying vessel of any kind, the message was, Roy, come and get this goddamn cat. Historic and wonderful. Has some gravitas. Because kiddo remained not chill. And so they flew. They were making decent progress initially. You get into foggy areas. It's interesting to read their accounts of the experience too, because they're over the ocean now and it's quiet and they're in the midst of fog and there's nothing around them. They're just in this really eerie fog. So what happened to them? They made it about 72 hours before they are like, it's not happening anymore. By day three, they had lost too much gas and they just couldn't continue. And so some of this is just like, it was very windy and the seas were high. And so they were worried that it was going to fall apart or that they were just going to go in the water. So eventually they called for help and they were rescued by the mail steamship Trent, just northwest of Bermuda. So do you want to know what happened when they detached from the airship?
Yes.
It was light enough that it floated away and went back to the American coast and crashed off the coast of Maryland.
Oh.
It just wanted to go home.
Wow.
Yeah. Their journey continues. They're headed back home. Kiddo hated the air, loved the water. Murray, our biographer, Murray Simon, said that Kiddo definitely preferred the seafaring portion. He said that Kiddo was perched on the lifeboat sail, washing his face in the sun. He was a pleasant picture of feline content. So we should definitely be on the water, not in the air.
Yes, I do adore the pictures. There are some pictures of the men holding Kiddo, who looked like an orange cat.
Mm-hmm.
And the cat looks very timeless. Like he could be any cat in any TikTok video. And then there's a very dapper man with a like a bowler hat. And another one is a guy like in a flat cap. And they look very of the time. And then there's just cat.
Just cat. He went on to be displayed in Gimbel's department store in New York, along with the lifeboat and the cat in a golden cage.
I find that deeply troubling, that it was probably not a very big cage. And here's this cat just with people coming by and looking. Oh, my goodness. Poor. Well, cat, that's what you get for stowing away. You know, I used to have a cat that would try to jump into all the, you know, if somebody came to do construction on the house or something like that, you know.
Yes.
He was always getting into the trucks. This is what happens when you jump into the dirigible boat.
Yes. Kiddo did retire from aviation and went on to live with one of Wellman's daughters. And Wellman was the chief aeronaut, the one running this mission. Apparently, after this, Anthony Simon, the navigator's grandson, said that his grandfather received marriage proposals from damsels captivated by the adventure and offers for vaudeville lectures and articles. Wow. They were quite the thing of the moment because this was not viewed as a failure. They only made it 3 days. They did not 1300 miles. They did not get to England or wherever they were going to land. But it was this gathering of data and it helped the military and they were able to progress further. They were paving the way. We eventually made it across the ocean, everybody.
Without a cat.
Without a cat.
I love his name is Kiddo.
Kiddo.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love it. Well, check out the show notes. The pictures are cute. If you want to listen to Brain Junk, listen wherever, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Sure. The end.
Like and subscribe and all that.
Yeah. You can ask your smart speaker to play Brain Junk podcast and wherever you listen. Please leave reviews. We read them all the time. We love them. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.